In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. What is the most common advice given to someone when they have lost something or they are called upon to give an account of a specific incident? It is retrace your steps. That is, you return to where you started from using the same route. Now, this doesn't always guarantee a total success. I mean, you don't always end up finding what you're looking for or recollecting the details of that specific incident, right? But it helps. It takes you back to where you started from. It puts you back to point A. This can one way or another relate to trying to work out why you are not the same in faith as you were a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago. Why am I hearing, yeah, Rabbi, that's right, that's true. Let me say it again. Retracing your step could be one of the advice, and I think the most helpful advice one can give to someone whose faith, relationship with God, spirituality is not the same as it was a month ago, a year ago, or a decade ago. And what I mean by the same faith or the same in faith, I'm talking the sameness in the practicality of your faith. That is prayer, reading the Holy Scriptures, fasting, attending the public sacramental worship, that is the church, commitment to your faith, to your obligation as a Christian, helping those in need, humility, unwavering trust in and patience and perseverance in God. Your readiness to accept, to suffer, to sacrifice for Christ's sake. Your general spiritual demeanor. How many of us out there that are listening are in this predicament? A month ago, I was on fire. When I first attended Bible studies and I was introduced to the Holy Scriptures and I was introduced to an active, committed relationship with Jesus Christ, I was on fire. I felt like I was on God's lap. And each time I said, God, I could hear him say, yes, my child. But now, Rabbi, I feel that God is distant from me. Well, God has not distanced himself from you. God is there. Maybe you don't need to be pampered anymore. You don't need to be put on God's lap. Maybe God now is saying to you, you're a grown up now. You know me now. You've been introduced to me. You've been, you know, learning about me. You need to start walking now. We all go through this. I am regularly asked, why am I not who I was, where I was, when I was with Christ, Rabbi? I feel like I've lost my zeal, my drive, my commitment, my seriousness, my respect, my honor for the sovereign, all-knowing, all-capable, and all-present God. Well, what do I reply? What must be replied is retrace your steps, your life, your relationship with Christ. Pinpoint where it changed. where it started to go downwards? What were you doing a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago, which saw you in a relationship with God that was on fire, that you could hear God's voice? Well, the answer is, well, Abhi, I prayed, I read the Holy Scriptures, I fasted, I did my charitable work, I witnessed to people about Jesus Christ and what He has done in my life. I invited family members, friends, relatives to church, to Bible studies, to prayer meets. I never stopped doing this. I went to places that a Christian needs to constantly be. Again, church, Christian gatherings, Bible studies, Vespers, that is evening prayers, morning prayers. I totally avoided, I tried my best to avoid those places that are nothing but negativity and a bad influence on a Christian life. Nightclubs, casinos, concerts where performers are mocking Christ, half naked, evil, atheists, abominable. And as a Christian, I avoided going to those places. That wasn't my place. I associated with the right people. Again, Christian brothers and sisters, people with etiquette, good morals, kind, loving. I didn't associate much and mingled with those who were immoral, drug dealers, thieves, blasphemers, God mockers and haters. I actually prayed for them, but I didn't associate with them. I occupied myself with serving, helping people, reaching out to people. I didn't engage much in laziness and selfishness, lothness, inconsiderateness, disrespectfulness. No, I avoided those. I watched appropriate films. I surfed the appropriate websites, social media platforms. I ignored and tried to state right away, I blocked inappropriate memes, posts, videos. I actually reported them so that I would not see them. A month ago, a year ago, a decade ago, I listened to positive talk. I listened to the appropriate music, encouraging and spiritual, uplifting conversations, Christian music of praise, educational, theological, doctrinal hymns and songs, soothing classical music, soothing classical or jazz music and the blues. I love those. I listened to songs with appropriate lyrics. I didn't blast my stereo in the car with the F-bomb every second word with filth and cussing, rap and R&B. I didn't do that, Rabbi. I used my time wisely. Not only my Christian life, but my life in general. I would study. I worked. I concentrated on my studies, concentrated on work. I invested my money. I excelled. I never wasted my time and became a bludger. For those Australian brothers and sisters, a bludger, which is an Aussie slang, it's a noun which describes a lazy person. For example, I'm running around like a headless chook organizing this barbie and Jono's just sitting there like a bludger, a lazy person. I wasn't a bludger. I would use my time wisely. And then I ask, so what was your relationship like then? Great, on fire, challenging, yet satisfying, yet profitable, producing fruit. Okay, I reply, what happened? What is your life entailing now? Well, what I did then, I don't do now. What I didn't do then, I do now. Well, my advice is cut it out. Cut out what you did then and you don't do now. Do what you did then and don't do now. cut out what you didn't do then and do now that is causing your faith to diminish. Cut out the things you do now which are deterring your consistent, effective, and healthy relationship with God and diminishing, deteriorating your spirituality. Cut it out. Cut it out. Gouge it out. Cut it out. Yes, Matthew 18, 8 to 9 is echoing in my words, right? Amen. Yes, cut it out. So if you thought up to now, these are Akasha Jenard's advice and theology and philosophy. No, no, no. These are the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That Jesus that you are on fire with, you're on the clouds, that Jesus that you loved and worship, and now you crave so much to have that same relationship with, commands you to do this. If your hand or your feet causes you to sin or subverts you, cut it off and cast it from you. What those things that you do now that have distanced you and diminished your relationship with God, cut them out. It could be what you do, what you see, where you go, the best of the best friends you have, the BFF that you have, the family members, the cousins, the relatives, cut them out. If they are causing your relationship to God to start wavering. For it is better for you that you enter life as a lame, as a maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, that you would fall into eternal fire. By cutting out, yes, you may have been surprised and shocked. How can I cut out my best friend, my relatives? No, by cutting them out, you could cause that relative, that family, that friend to come back and repent so that both of you will enjoy the eternal bliss in eternity. But if you don't, what Christ is saying, both of you will be in the eternal fire. And if your eye subverts you, pull it out. Gouge it out from you, not physically, metaphorically. He's talking about those things that you now do, which you didn't, and are causing you to be in the dilemma that you're in now in your faith. For it is better for you that you would enter life with one eye rather than having two eyes, that you would fall into the Gehenna of fire, the hell of fire. How, Rabbi? How do I do that? Easier said than done, they say, right? Yeah, it is easy. Cheap talk is cheap. Well, I'm sorry. Let us not blaspheme. This is not my talk. This is Jesus's talk, and it's not cheap. It is valueless. You cannot put a value on the words and the promises and the warnings of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because value ends. Things devalue. Christ's words will never devalue because they extend into eternity. And we're going to finish with that. When? How, Rabbi? Now, today. You know, during this time of fasting, as we are fasting and preparing to receive, to celebrate, to praise, to worship, to honor the birth of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, let us now be attentive to and active in our spiritual vitamin supplements, prayer, fasting, reading the Holy Scriptures, participating in the public sacramental worship of the church, partaking in the all-sanctifying body and blood of Christ. It wasn't just ordinary bread. Don't let them fool you to say that it's just an ordinary bread. No, it isn't, because an ordinary bread will not kill you, will not put you to sleep, as it did in 1 Corinthians. Those who are partaking in this, quote, unquote, ordinary, quote, ordinary bread, unquote, they were falling to asleep because they were not worthy. No, it is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also remember, during this time, remember to continue your good deeds. As soon as I mention good deeds, yeah. You know, for Thanksgiving, we did a Thanksgiving drive, and for Christmas, we fed the homeless. God bless you. Amen. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I don't like seeing you posting pictures of you feeding someone. Don't do that. Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing when you do your charitable work. Do not do it to be seen. And if you may say, well, I don't. Well, why are you posting your pictures? Don't post pictures of you feeding a homeless. That's disrespectful to the homeless, for all those who do it and then take selfies because I'm feeding a homeless. Don't do that. You know, you've received your, it's a good deed. I'm not downplaying that deed. It's a great deed, but you received your reward. And you know what your reward was? 5 or 6 likes on your post, as opposed to eternal bliss with God. As opposed to, I'm sorry, let me retract that. As opposed to Christ saying, good, faithful servant, I'm going to reward you for that. No, he will say, you've already been rewarded. You got your 5 likes and 2 hearts and God bless yous. No. When I talk about good deeds, we tend to forget the most important that Christ is really pleased with. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. You know, as you listen to this now, pull over, here we go, pull over to one side, stop your washing of the dishes and your vacuuming and changing of the diapers, whatever you're doing. Just stop for 1 second. Once you have completed this, I don't challenge you and I don't dare you. I encourage you to pick up the phone and call, text, or send a snap message or an Instagram message or a Twitter message to that person that you haven't spoken to for so long because he or she have hurt you so much. Pick up the phone and text and say, in Jesus' name, for the sake of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, who took my spittle, took my nails, accepted my crown of thorns, and took my ridicule and my sins and my foolishness and was crucified. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. These are the deeds that the Lord is pleased with. Christ mentions, if you only knew what it meant that I want mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy, compassion. So continue with your good deeds, forgiving, reconciling, apologizing if you have caused someone to fall and you have brought hurt and pain upon someone. Pick up the phone. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to so belittle myself. I'm going to so humble myself. And I'm going to apologize. Continue to help people. Reach out to people this Christmas during this fasting time. And now, let me just tell those who've never fasted, don't be proud of yourself. Don't be proud of yourself if you've never fasted. Don't mock and laugh. And don't tell me where in the Bible it says. It's in the Bible. Go and read the Bible. Read the scriptures. When you fast, Jesus says, period. That's it. When you fast, that means you're going to fast. Fasting is in the scriptures. Now, maybe some versions have dared to remove fasting from the scriptures, and the punishment of God will be upon those theologians, whatever you want to call them, who've removed the word fasting. No, it's in the Peshitta version, which is the ancient version of the scriptures. Fasting is in the scriptures. Why don't you begin to fast before you even forgive and reconcile and apologize? Begin to fast. Oh, Rabbi, I've never done it. Like, what do I do? Start simple, very simple. Today's Monday, right? Yeah. It's probably about 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do we go? Well, what time do you post it? 7. Oh, that's nice. Even earlier, 7 o'clock in the morning. Good morning. Good morning, California, Philippines. Those who listen from Philippines, good morning. Why don't you, before you turn on your radio and before you light your cigarette, you know, have your shower, wash your face, and do what you need to do hygienically. Go into your room, get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm going to attempt to fast today. I'm going to not eat or drink until, let's say, 12 o'clock. That's when I have my lunch. I'm going to totally abstain, Lord. I'm going to not only abstain from food, I'm not going to sit in the car. I'm not going to turn my music on. I don't need to listen to that music right now. Lord, constantly meditate upon you. That's what I want to do. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord God, Father, forgive me. Just mention the name of God. And then when time comes for you to break your fast, your abstinence, say a prayer and say, Lord, I know I've fallen. I know I've made a lot of mistakes and I've probably sinned as well without me knowing. Father, accept my fast and then break your fast, break your abstinence. Right. Okay. Right. I can't go total vegan. Fine. Why don't you fast from meat and poultry? Why don't you do this? It's the intention, it's the attempt that God will be pleased and appeased with. Begin to fast. And you will see that slowly and yet 100% guaranteed, 100% guarantee. You know, there's going to be no money back, you know, 100% guarantee all your money back. You'll not receive any money back now. It's 100% guaranteed that you will receive the eternal blessings of God in the kingdom of heaven when we go back to that point where we had that amazing relationship with God. St. Paul encourages us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, but you, O man of God, escape from these things. Escape from those that cause you to be laxed in an active and living faith. Now, I know St. Paul's not talking about this, but let's just use this for our situation today. But you, O man of God, escape from these things that are causing you to waver in your faith. Active faith, living faith, and run after righteousness, after justice, after faith, after love, after patience, and after humility, and fight in the good contest of faith and seize eternal life to which things you are called. And you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go back to that relationship with God. And there is no way you can do it until you begin to go down on your knees and knock on God's doors. That's what we do when we name the Holy Trinity and do the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Knock, knock, knock. Isn't it amazing? When there is an emergency, what do you call? 911, just like Homer Simpson said, quick, tell me the number for 911. You know, you call 911. In Australia, they call 000000. It's, everything is in three, isn't it? So when there is an urgency in our spiritual life, let us knock on God's door in the name of the Father, one knock, and the Son, the second knock, and the Holy Spirit, the third knock, and God opens the door or picks up the phone and says, yes, my son, yes, my child, I was so waiting for you. I'm here for you now. You see, a healthy, active, thriving relationship with God in temporality will extend into an everlasting sharing in God's bliss eternally. Praise and glory be to his holy name now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.